Hello and welcome to the RMC Terminal Podcast. This is the third edition. My name's Haverside and today I'm joined by ODJ, as before. And we've also got four special guests joining us, so I'm going to introduce them individually. Firstly, we've got Rukin from Recursion.
Hi.
And we've also got Yasmu from Vector.
Hello there.
And we've also picked up Venshir from Recursion as well, and also Red Bindi, so together you two.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
So what we're going to be doing is we're going to go through and have a chat around recent events within the Matrix Online. Now, we've had quite a few exciting turn of events in terms... We're going to go through Scion events first. Recent problems they've had in terms of their Red Pill exploit. ODJ, you want to talk about this one for us?
Yeah, sure. Well, seeing as I'm a machine, that's a great person to go to. it's been this woman, something or other. She used to be in Scion.
Danielle Wright.
That's it. Yeah, that's the badger. She invented the first red pill or something, didn't she? And then she...
The emergency jackout process.
That's it, yeah. She invented that as well. Yeah. And she's trying to get this new red pill to work. And one of the new events was that Zion was picking up a blue pill, handing them the red pill, and then finding out that it didn't work. But during the recent crit mission, red pills have been handing out now, so they are working now. But also machines have just obtained a sample themselves, so...
In today's Critical, we had to go around and actually pick up some last bits of code to be able to put the pill together so it would work. Apparently the flushing program still wasn't working. That is again connected to a recent event where Zion actually lost a blue pill. Well done to Zion. Hopefully around that, the actual red pill being fixed now, hopefully we won't have any more problems with that. Now, my personal opinion on this Danielle Wright, I don't like her. Purely because she sounds very machinist. If you've had her in your Critical missions, she always seems to refer to you as your name and not your nickname or your handle. So Mr. Varnes keeps popping up and it kind of really unnerves you when you're doing the actual Critical mission. But, yeah.
I don't really get any kind of feeling that she's working with the machines. Ghost said in the first crit that she left right after the truce due to ideological differences. And I think the current feeling, I know a lot of Zion doesn't trust her. What I actually picked up from that last event, it almost seems as if she's doing this to get some kind of information on the machines. She had said something in one of the live events that kind of threw me off, that was a little odd. I'll have to find it.
She seems so coldly scientific to me that, you know, to her, science is everything. You know, if there are some casualties along the way, oops. And personally, I have a problem with that, with her, character-wise. So
she doesn't care for loss of life.
No.
So, ODJ, you were saying you've done the machine Critical missions. You want to explain to us what's been going on in there?
What was quite interesting with the current machine Critical, after we'd got the red pill and analysed it, there was some interesting information that the way that Danielle Wright had actually managed to bypass the exploit that the machines had been using was that she actually gained information from the Zion mainframe. And as Ancient Grey was saying, that he doubted whether Zion would be willing to share the Zion mainframe with an outsider, with like someone who deserted Zion. So it could be taken from that she's actually found a way to get to the Zion mainframe without actually authorization, which is quite interesting from a machine point of view.
I did find that quote that kind of threw me off about her. She said in the last live event, "No sacrifice is too great to ensure human control over the Matrix." And that kind of made me think that since she left after the truce was formed, seems almost as if she's trying to do this to get some kind of control over the machines or to control the Matrix on her own somewhat, which would explain why she has this big corporation and all that.
Why don't we talk about recent EPN activity then? Rukin, you might be an ideal person to actually ask about this.
Not at all.
Not at all. That's a good start. Okay, well...
No, wait, here's why. Because my hard drive failed, and then again, I haven't done a Critical since, like, the Unlimits crap, except for the 8.1.1 Verve Critical. That was pretty cool.
Okay, very handy. Okay, recent live event activity then via EPN.
Hey,
there was
let's be honest here. You're EPN, I would say you can answer the question, surely.
But he's about
we'll
to.
Question to you.
I was about to, shut up.
No.
recent activity. There was a recent live event regarding collecting data on attacking the lines in the real. Now, there's a lot of controversy over whether we should be doing this or not, and EPN, even inside, they're saying some are iffy about it, some don't like it. I'm 50-50 on it. I mean, I'll go with whatever Kid says to do, because I follow his command. But again, I'm not too up on the suicide side of things either. Whether it will turn out to that, we'll have to see. But yeah, that's the main thing. We actually successfully achieved picking up the data, which kind of links in with the recent MERV event where... I think Rukin, you could probably. Yeah, Rukin, you was there, weren't you?
Yeah. What?
I'm confused.
What are you asking?
I mean, no, I'm not asking anything. I'm getting confused. We'll start.
Okay, let me just butt in here and say, in the recent machine crit, the holographic projection from the Burner engine appeared at the end and said, "You may be interested to know, operative, that E Pluribus Neo plans to sabotage certain power lines running into Machine City in the very near future." Full details can be found at blah 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 blah. I would use my own sentinels to deal with them, but I thought your masters might prefer to do it themselves. It's quite interesting, really, because the Rev engine never really helps anyone unless it's to his benefit. So I'm wondering what he's doing, because in the last cinematic, he did seem to just be standing there enjoying everything, like it's going his way. But I've not seen any kind of proof that it's going his way.
You never can tell with the Rev.
The Zion destroys the machines and the MERV controls the maintenance. I mean, like, they, like, cripple. That's my thought on it, anyway.
I just thought it was interesting that he's kind of helping the machines in a way. So
He kind of throws around his loyalties very quickly.
Yeah, he does it really quickly. As well.
One minute he's helping one person, next minute he's doing this, and then he's doing this.
Well, that's why you can never tell.
Honestly, I think he's just trying to get the war to last longer. The longer the war lasts between Zion and the machine, the less likely he's going to be messed with, and the more power he'll consolidate.
It's a quite worrying fact now, but what I was thinking earlier, it feels like as if this isn't just a war now between Zion and machines. It does slightly feel like MERV is kind of involved in this as well, big time now, because he's got all the sentinels in the real now as well. So it's like he can do as he pleases. He can either help Zion or help machines. It's like he's in the middle, if that makes sense.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I wouldn't say his like force in the real is particularly strong in any sense. He'd have to, I mean, we all know he's pretty tactically sound, and he sees an opportunity, gambles, he generally comes out on top. He needs to, you know, like, he's got his sentinels there. It may not be a big amount, but if there's an opportunity there to use them in some way, if there's a weakness or a little weak spot, he generally picks it out.
Well,
so,
here's the thing, though. How are we supposed to know whether it's we're getting tacked by MERV sentinels or machine sentinels? It's not like we can really tell
point.
The difference.
I was just thinking the same thing.
I mean,
they could easily...
Sorry, go on.
Go ahead, ODJ.
Recently, in a live event, didn't the Cypherites take out most of the commandos which represent sentinels?
They did attack. They did take out quite a few of what they did is they somehow got into the secret construct where Effectuator had been collecting them, and it turns out that they killed them all. As ODJ actually said earlier, Kryptos was actually the only one alive afterwards, but they're all dead.
Yeah, but weren't those only the RSI shells of them?
Yeah,
well, they sort of
wasn't the actual programs.
I thought it was that they actually signified, like, it was like a bond, like, between,
they were linked.
Yeah, it's like they were linked. I mean, in the third Matrix, Ramachandra and his wife, they're shown as RSIs in the Matrix, and then, but they're actually in the real doing power plant, programming or whatever. So I mean, if they are destroyed in the Matrix, doesn't that mean the program is destroyed or whatever?
Well, the way
they don't ever make that clear. I mean, they could have just been RSI projections. They could have been linked. I mean, or the sentinels in the real could be standalone. We don't know.
Yeah,
and
exactly, yeah.
Did the general move all his sentinels in, or did he leave some behind?
Well, here's how I figured it went. Cinematic when they when Stalingrad or whatever was being destroyed, they brought the Sentinels in and they were taking the programs out and putting it in shells in the Matrix. And then the Sentinels were like, prop them or something.
That's the Sentinels are still in the real, aren't they? There's still quite a few of them in the real that they claim to have.
They claim to have, but then again, can't really trust them, Evan, can you?
Yeah, it's all about manipulation and power with him, so in any way he's going to manipulate some sort of opportunity for himself. So you can't really, he may be bluffing, he may be telling the truth. You can't second guess him, really.
So overall then, recent events, how have you guys felt the story's going, things like that?
I've really been enjoying it.
Yeah.
I was a bit
disappointed. It's really picked up. It's been a lot of fun.
Alrighty, well, we're going to move on. We're going to start talking about the recent update we had, update 54. Now, this one was delayed by a day, but we got it the next day, which was pretty good, instead of having the long delay, which we was expecting. We've had recent additions in terms of some new items, two new items in terms of the new red glasses, the headless shades, and also the industrial hat as well. So,
fedora.
Guys, the fedora. I can't remember the name. What do you guys think to the patch, then?
I've really enjoyed it so far. Bindi and I made a couple of new characters on Syntax to kind of check out a lot of the new content, and it's been a lot of fun. I know that the hat and the glasses are difficult to get, but I mean, a day of work can get you the hat, a couple of minutes will get you the glasses. All in all, I think it's pretty balanced.
I loved going after the hat and glasses. Going after as many times as I did, I started to go a little nuts trying to get those hair colors. But I'm loving the hat just because of the outfit I got to put together from it, which I'm absolutely loving.
Yeah, the hat's cool. I like that. The glasses
decreasing the dungeon boss time from 20 minutes to 10 minutes is essential, in my opinion.
Oh, that was
a
godsend.
Definitely.
I mean, I like the new glasses. They're pretty creative in terms of the actual design. Some people don't like them. Some people think they're crap. They fit. They have a side suit pretty well, so I'm really happy with that. Unfortunately, they've played around with the actual shininess of some of the textures on clothes, and the Arasaki leather, the leather trousers that you have, they are now not as shiny as they were. I wish they were shiny. You guys, what was your feelings on the changes they made in terms of fixing some of the clothing issues?
Some of them were completely ridiculous beforehand. I'm glad they got toned down, to be honest. But some of them are too toned down now, or they've been messed around with too much and really stupid. But no, for the most part, I think I'm glad most of them have been changed back from shiny.
Yeah,
some of them were just way, way too shiny to the point you could barely look at it and nothing went together anymore.
For example, like that, what the white suit was one that was kind of messed up this time around, wasn't it?
FA are pretty upset about that one.
I mean, I don't wear the white suit anymore. It used to be my dancing suit, but not anymore.
I know for the women, a lot of the dread leather skirts got way too shiny, and so a lot of the shirts we were wearing with them weren't matching anymore either. That's from the woman's point of view.
Yeah, there was one of the black shirts, black dress shirts, they became really shiny, and they looked almost purple instead of black. That was quite annoying.
And the Yuki Ninja boots no longer looked black, they had that funky gold black color.
Yeah, it was like brownish or something, it was nasty.
So it was good they fixed those.
So in terms of the update then, was you guys happy with it?
I was happy with it. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the fact that they added resistance to the a lot of the dungeon loot as well, like the troll side, that was really cool because a lot of the stuff hasn't actually been touched since CR1.
Ben
and I were talking about that the other day. A lot of the stuff is actually worth going and getting now, especially as you level.
Yeah.
There's always a good aspect. I mean, I never actually farmed any of the hideout stuff during leveling to 50, but
I would recommend it. I mean, it totally takes away the monotony of running endless missions on end. I mean, Bindi and I have not had anything to not do while leveling these two characters. Just going and doing hideouts and all that stuff. Doing all the stuff you're supposed to do at the level you're supposed to do it.
I say it's actually been a lot of fun, like Fen has been saying, you know, to the point where I actually enjoy the leveling process this time around, whereas with my original character, you know, it was kind of, especially the levels 30 to 40 was the worst time, because it was just mission after mission after mission.
Yeah, 30 to 40 for me as well was really, really tedious. I mean, yeah. It took ages getting 30 to 40.
I just hit 40 on Syntax and it's like the most brutal thing ever. It's just so mind-numbing.
Alright, so what we're going to do, we're going to just move on from the update side of talking. And we're going to look around the new image retrieval that we've just received from Rarebit this week. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty impressed. I'm pretty surprised by it, actually. But there's been quite a bit of confusion over what it actually represents. A lot of people think it's referring to a wall move that was usually in before the CR2 update. A lot of people think it's going to... you guys talk about it, because, I don't know, OTJ, you was talking to me about it earlier.
It's the exact same wall move that Fallen 8... what's that vector faction? The one that are always in white. I don't
Fallen remember. Horizons?
Furious Angels, that's it.
Furious Angels, yeah.
They used it in their Blue Sky event. One of the characters, he didn't have a hat, he ran up the wall, jumped behind the guy in the black suit, kicked him right in the stomach, and he fell over and died. That's what it did.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to finally see them re-implementing these abilities, because, I mean, this is a game about the Matrix, and one of the key factors in the films is the wall running, and there's no wall running in the game. So, I mean, as soon as they get these things back in, the better, in my opinion. But everyone was getting kind of confused about the fact that it's got a pill symbol by the name.
Shadow Phoenix.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested whether it's going to be a pill or whether it's just going to be an actual ability that you, which you can, you know, get in one of the trees or something.
And I also kind of wonder if it's some kind of a hint towards the assassin coming back, too.
I don't think we should read into that one.
they've used the assassin character model with other stuff to, like, show examples of what they're doing, because, you know, it's just a character model that they have.
Yeah.
Something that I kind of picked up on that hasn't really been spoken about within the actual thread is the little comment at the top that it's by Woolworths. Now, we haven't heard from Woolworths in quite some time in terms of MXO and any developments, and it's constantly brought up within the weekend review. What do you think Woolworths has done for this?
He probably just passed the idea along and probably found the way to do it.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully we'll see this implemented soon, but as Rarebit said, this is due to hopefully no unexpected hiccups to turn along, so maybe we'll be seeing this soon.
This is MXO, we'll never see unexpected hiccups.
Not at all.
Yeah, it should, hopefully it's the first in a long line of returning moves.
See, for me, this will all be new. I only started about a year ago, so it'd be interesting to me just to be able to see all these moves that most of you guys have seen before.
I'm in the same boat as you, Redmindy. I came in just after the Blue Sky event, so I didn't see it.
No, I was just going to say, well, I've been here 2 years, and the only time I ever saw it was during the FA video, so...
So, most people didn't really get to do the wall animations until, like, late in the game. Like, some things, like the FA video where he ran up the wall, some people did. For me, I did a wall running where I ran across the wall as the guy shot at me and I kicked him. No one's ever seen that before. No one, you know, really believes that I did it.
Yeah, I don't believe
it. So what we'll just move on into our last section of the actual podcast. We're just going to quickly talk about the fanfare. Now, we was going to do this nearer the time after the fanfare ended, so we're just going to quickly chat around it. We've posted all the pictures up on the forums. You guys have all seen it. What do
you posted
think?
All the pictures
I posted
up on the
all the pictures up on the forums. Yes, that's correct. What do you guys think to the actual pictures? From
wish I could have gone to fanfare. You know, if only I lived in Vegas.
Yeah, host in the UK next time.
It looked like you guys had a lot of fun. I really regret not going, and I'm definitely going to try to make it next year.
You better.
Yeah, that's kind of my thoughts on it. I wish I had been able to make it, but there was just no way by the time I found out about it.
I had this idea, like so many people were just sort of like turn around since they've seen the pictures. They're like, oh, I'm going to come next year. I just wonder how many people will actually follow through with it, if we're going to end up with, like, in our group of 20.
I mean,
I hope,
regardless of how big the group was, we still had fun. and we still...
Oh, yeah, no, I just mean, you know, just speaking hypothetically, just how many people, you know, it's just sort of a reaction to, you know, everyone sort of sat around with Rarebit and Walrus, but then when the time comes next year, I just wonder how many people will actually be committed to going.
Only time will tell in terms of that one.
I hope you girl makes another appearance.
Who?
Definitely.
Hey, Brooke. Hey.
No, not Brooke. No.
No, the girl with the beads. She was hot.
Yeah, EQ girl. EverQuest girl.
Just you.
Great.
No. Yeah, lots of fun. We all had fun, so we can't wait till next year. So, overall, fanfare shirt. The Vertigo's shirt. I hope I said that.
It used to be cool, then you got one. No.
I really like the texture on it. You know, it's better seeing it in game now than what it was in the image retrievals, in my opinion. Yaz, what do you think? I mean, you are the leading craze of this green suit.
It was cool. Like I said, no, I do think it's better than what I originally expected it to be. Like there was those SIGs that came out like just as soon as it was announced, where they were like, "Oh, I went to fanfare and all I got was this crappy green T-shirt." It was kind of wrong, I guess.
Does it have any kind of buffs or anything on it?
It's like
plus 50 CT, plus 50 CT.
No, they're completely the same as the anniversary T-shirts that came out. So they'll scale your defense up as you go up the level. So it's 11. Points to each resistance.
Yo, just learn the right words, Havocide.
What?
I mean, come on.
I'm sorry.
Nope.
I think it's exactly like the blue sky shirts. I mean, people are going to wear them when they want to, but apart from that, it's not. It's all right. It does its job as like a thing to give out, but apart from that, it's no biggie.
I see XXT's trying to buy one on the marketplace on Syntax.
He's trying. He won't get it. Unless he's lucky. Broco's been quite funny. He's been running around Syntax wearing the green suit.
Giving away glitch keys, you know.
and porting people inside the bubble.
I mean, yeah.
Plural. Oh, wait, it was just one person, wasn't it?
I mean, CSR events have been quite good this recently. Well, we're drawing to the end of the podcast now. We've gone through all the subjects for today's podcast. I hope you join us next time in terms of when we do the next one, which will hopefully be within the next month. Thank you to our guests for joining us. So Fenshear, Roken, Red Bindi, and also Yasmu. Once again, OGA, thank you for joining me as my co-host. Is there anything else you guys want to say before we go?
I like tacos.
For Zion.
For Neo.
Brilliant, thanks very much guys, we'll see you.
Give me an SMS. Assassin Mask PLZ.